All right, my name is Joe Martin, TCQ, Water Quality Standards Group. I'm going to give you an update on the recreational use attainability analyses that we've done in the Brazos River Basin. This is a photo from one of them. There's a family there recreating in the Navasota River below Lake Limestone. Basically, for those of you who don't know, recreational use attainability analyses are studies to determine what type of recreation is occurring on the streams. Therefore, knowing that information, we can set the appropriate recreation standard and associated criterion with that. Prior to the 2010 standards, basically recreational uses were broken down into two categories, contact and non-contact recreation. Those were usually decided by aquatic scientists who were familiar with the water body that were in that area. And there were no presumed uses for unclassified streams. Nothing was presumed. There was only designated uses on classified streams that are associated with Appendix A in the standards. In 1983, EPA started requiring that use attainability analyses be done for everything that was less than PCR, or that's primary contact recreation, which is swimming, tubing, wading by children, those type of activities, any type of activity that you have a high likelihood of ingesting water. So what happened was we had our standards conditionally approved by EPA, and in 1986 EPA was sued by a consortium of groups because our surface water quality standards didn't have any uses for unclassified water bodies, small streams, and only a few of them had UAAs done on them. So in 1988, we changed the standards, and we broadly presumed primary contact recreation for all unclassified water bodies in the state, and primary contact recreation was also the designated use for all classified water bodies, except for a few instances where you had non-contact recreation, such as Houston Ship Channel, in places where it was deemed unsafe for recreation, or nowadays unlawful due to Homeland Security and such. So, what we did in the last standards revision was we expanded the categories from just having contact and non-contact recreation into having primary contact recreation, secondary contact recreation 1, secondary contact recreation 2, and non-contact. In order to change any of these, you must do a recreational use attainability analysis, and unclassified water bodies that get a site-specific criteria are located in Appendix G of the surface water quality standards. So giving you an idea what these categories look like, we have primary contact, like I said, swimming, diving, wading by children, tubing, anything with a high likelihood of ingestion. It has an associated criterion of 126 colony-forming units per 100 mils of water. Secondary contact 1, this is where you don't have as high of a likelihood of ingestion. So you have wading by adults, fishing, boating, canoeing, those type of activities. It has a criterion of 630 CFU per 100 mils. We have secondary contact 2. Those are essentially the same types of activities you have in secondary contact, but because of physical characteristics of the stream, maybe real steep banks, very isolated, no access, you don't get those activities occurring as frequently. And it has an associated criterion of 1,030 CFU. And then non-contact recreation, like I said, ship and barge traffic, as in the ship channels, some birding areas where, you know, you might be near water, but you're not going to really get anywhere near it, has a standard of 2060. So how do we identify appropriate streams? And in order to do these studies, we take the streams from the 303D list. We send out a survey to our partners, whether it be our regional offices, Texas Parks and Wildlife, the river authorities such as BRA, and the Texas State Soil and Water Conservation Board. We get that information back from them on these streams to find out which water bodies would be appropriate for these types of studies. Does everyone agree that, you know, there's not recreation going on there? It's something that could possibly have an inappropriate standard with it. And so from that, we distill the list down to a smaller list and start conducting surveys. So when we do these surveys, what are we looking for? We're looking for, is there an existing use? Do people swim here? What kind of recreation is occurring there? Where in the water body does this recreation occur? Is it throughout? Is it an isolated spot? How often do these activities occur, primary and secondary contact recreation? And what surrounding conditions promote or impede access? Is there a lot of access? Are there several parks located on it? Is it run by a school? Is it, or is it very isolated? You know, primarily private land. No one can get to it, etc. So, in order for recreational use change to occur, what do you need to do? Well, like I said, we identify the appropriate streams, use the information from the surveys to conduct the to decide which streams we're going to move on. We conduct the RUAA. Once the RUAA is conducted and the report's been written, we get the report, and what we do is we put it out for a 30-day public comment period. We notify people in a couple different ways. We usually do newspaper notices in the local paper, but also we do I send it out on our listserv, which there was a link to it on the end of Jill's presentation. There's also a link on the end of mine, so if you'd like to find out when these studies are coming out for public comment, subscribe to that. Once that public comment period is over and we've received those comments, then that's when we'll start moving forward with making recommendations. Do we think a use change is appropriate, or is primary contact recreation the appropriate standard for the stream? Once that occurs, once we make a recommendation, the next step would be to get it adopted into the surface water quality standards. So that would be in our triennial revision, which will occur in 2013. There's a formal comment period associated with that as well. So that's a time for formal comments. And then once those make it into the surface water quality standards, which is approved by our commission, then the next step would be to get it approved by EPA. So just because we approve it does not mean necessarily EPA is going to approve it. And then once EPA approves it, then it's in either Appendix A or Appendix G, depending on if it's a classified or unclassified water body. And then the standard is essentially changed. All right, so the current status of water bodies we've conducted RUAs in the Brazos Basin, these have all been released for public comment. So we've got the report in, we've put it out for public comment, we've received those comments from everyone, and now these are the ones that we will be moving forward with and starting to make some recommendations on and hope to get these recommendations to go forth for the 2013 revision. So we have the 1208 Brazos River above Possum Kingdom, Navasota River below Lake Limestone, Navasota River above Lake Mahia, East Yewa, Brushy Creek in Williamson County, Upper Oyster Creek down around Sugar Land, and then Bullhead Bayou and unnamed trip to Bullhead Bayou. Now, these have not been released yet. We have these in-house, but we just need to get them out for a public comment period before we can start moving forward on those. We hope to do this very soon. There's, I believe, 31 of these, if I'm not mistaken, and they range throughout the whole Brazos Basin, Allens, Davidson, Noling, all the way into the 1221s there, Leon Tribbs, Sweetwater, Leon below Leon Reservoir, Sims, Little Duff Owl, Cottonwood Branch around the College Station area, Steel Creek, Thompson, Big Creek. Also, these are still all in the Brazos Basin and all in the same report, actually. So we have Wasp Creek, Willis Creek, once again in the Williamson County area, and then the 1255s, a lot of the Bosque trips there. These are ones we are currently still collecting some data on, some Navasota Tribs there, 1209s in Country Club, Wixon, Cedar, Duck, Gibbons, Shepherd, and Steel Creeks. So those are probably the furthest away from being ready to go. And then finally, some new RUAs. These are ones that we have just initiated the contract on, and we'll start beginning work this summer. So we have Camp Creek, Middle Yewa, Treme, Rush Coppers, Alarm, Little Green, Pond, Deer, and Dry Branch. So if you happen to be in those areas, or maybe you have property on those streams, you might be hearing from our contractors who just are wanting information. They might be wanting access. We're planning on having some public meetings in those areas to try to get the word out about what's going on, and that possibly, you know, if we could get information via interview forms, or you know, if you have access, all that would be great. So those are the new ones that are going to begin. Real quickly before I get into that, so what's going to happen is once we have this, I'll explain the process for what occurs if a use change does happen. If we decide, okay, primary contact recreation is not the appropriate standard, we feel the secondary contact recreation. Or, so what happens if we feel that primary contact is the appropriate recommendation? Then what happens? Because we're probably still talking about an impaired stream. So at that point, it comes back to our Watershed Action Planning Committee. And what they do is it's different agencies get together, talk about these streams, and find out what is the appropriate method for moving forward with trying to resolve the problem. They collect information from these kind of steering committee meetings and try to get a group together to get all the possible information in order to make the best decision on that. All right, so quickly just going through some really short summaries of what we've seen so far on some of these that we've released for public comment. We've got the Brazos River above Possum Kingdom, very long stretch, rural. What we did find was we found here some fellas, taking a quick dip in the Brazos there, and we saw swimming and tubing going on in the river, and we also through interviews, swimming, tubing, wading by children, all reported as uses up there. Here's the Navasota above Lake Mahia, a much shorter segment, also rural. What we found there is primarily the stream areas used for hunting and fishing. East Yewa, very similar. It flows into Lake Somerville. Fishing and hunting are the dominant recreational uses in that area. Here we have Navasota River below Lake Limestone. Once again, a very very long perennial stream. A primarily rural area, not a lot of parks, but there are some bridge crossings. And as you can see here, that and my cover slide, there were some indications of people recreating in the river, swimming, wading by children, those such things. Brushy Creek runs through the city of Round Rock in Williamson County. It's pretty accessible there in town. As you can see, some kids here playing under a bridge crossing and swimming and other primary contact recreation uses such as wading by children obviously are were documented there. Here we have Upper Oyster Creek. Kind of hard to tell from this picture, but it looks very much like a lake in this little area. There may be an impoundment there, I believe so. There's some houses on the side there. Upstream, it's more rural as you get down into the lower segment, flows right through the city of Sugar Land. Quite a few parks and rec areas there. Primary contact was documented, and there were some activities observed by our contractors when we were doing the survey in that area. And then we have a Bullhead Bayou and unnamed Trib to Bullhead Bayou. Very similar. Obviously, the Trib's much shorter, but both, as you can see, maintained banks. More of a ditch for flood control, essentially. You can see in the background, there's housing developments there, so it's a very suburban area. We didn't see any kind of recreation occurring when we were doing the surveys on those two. All right, and as I stated earlier, if you would like to find out when our reports are going out for public comment, you can go to our standards webpage. Jill had the link on hers. But if you go there, you can subscribe to our Surface Water Quality Standards Advisory Work Group. Or, if you have a question about something, you can just give me an email or give me a phone call. Either one would be fine. Yes, ma'am.
I had a question when you were talking about East Jaguar Creek there that flows into the Lake Somerville.
I believe so, because there's a wildlife management area there, and so I'm almost positive, but... Correct.
Situation.
That's correct. So the standard has to be met. Once you get into that reservoir, the standard has to be met there.
So if there's no contact in that stream, but that stream flows into an area that has that contact, it wouldn't take the characteristics of where it goes to?
Well, it wouldn't.
You see what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying, yes. But correct,
yeah.
Correct. Right, right. And but traditionally, we go segment by segment. Although, I understand. Correct.
Well, and East Yewa is probably an easy one because there isn't a bacteria concern into
If you get to a point where there's some control needed, about the only thing you have is the discharges that are into these water bodies, right? Controlling the wastewater discharges or
correct.
Stormwater discharges that are on a permit?
That's true, but for example, if we decided primary contact recreation was the correct or the appropriate standard and we needed to move forward with some type of reduction, there's also watershed protection plans, which are voluntary, right, and they, you know, try to get landowners and such to institute some best management practices and things of those nature. But you're right, as far as if it was a TMDL and you're trying to, get someone to force someone into it, it'd be through permits, through point source.
Minor thing, what's the difference between waiting by kids and waiting by adults?
I would assume that EPA, when they came up with that, either because kids are smaller, they're more likely to possibly fall down and ingest water, or there's actually been studies done on how much water kids ingest just from playing in the water. So I think that the thought process was just by being children, they're easier to fall in the water and ingest it possibly, or they play with water a lot and they're more likely to ingest it that way.
When you're classifying it, how do you decide this is wading by children stream versus wading by adults?
Well, I mean, we don't classify it. We wouldn't classify it that narrowly.
Well, you have one, contact 2-1.
Well, right. But in order, when we were going to make the recommendation, or it would be going to broader body of evidence, for example, than just specifically that. But
okay.
Any other questions? All right.
Also, there's EPA understands, at least some of them do, that there is natural conditions in some streams that you are going to have this problem. You are going to have natural low dissolved oxygen. It's just something that's part of the system. They do understand that. You know, with bacteria, it's a little harder to get a lot of them to buy off on. A lot of them have never been out of the office. They don't understand how it works out there in the river. I don't know if they'll ever pull one off the impaired. They'll just say, yeah, well, we understand there's problems. Do what you can.
If we do a TMDL, get it in category 4A, and the TMDL's been implemented, technically that's not on the list anymore.
Yeah.
It doesn't meet standards, but it's not considered impaired.
We can help if you let us just leave the chlorine in the wastewater and
figure it out.
That's right.
All right, anything else before I...
Just one more comment along this line.
stream team been monitoring bacteria in Nebraska now for a couple of years. Been looking at some communities who have low, built very close to the floodplain and the rivers. And interest or concern about waste, I guess I'd just say septic tank use.
Oh, absolutely.
And aging septic tanks in those areas. But watching the water in those areas after floods or soon after floods, or just in periods on the drain down from those episodes, I'm not really seeing in those areas a lot of additional influx of bacteria from those septic tanks who are perhaps submerged for some period of time and those fields leaching out or tanks actually washing out, if you will.
Yeah, and with septics, and we have a lot of these big projects on Greenberg where septic tanks were the primary issue. Of course, Greenberg, you had such a concentration of septic tanks in such very small places, it was unbelievable. And we did see there when the drain fields were saturated, our numbers went way up. I'm suspecting, I think I know at least probably one of the areas you've seen, knowing where you can sample, they probably, even though the drain field may become less efficient, they're probably still getting enough filtration maybe to keep the bacteria. But they're, at least the one, if it's the same community I'm thinking of, they have, I'm guessing, I hadn't gone out and actually surveyed it, but adequate drain fields. As far as size, or at least what the state says is adequate. So I think it's probably an area by area or a community by community issue. Lots of half the size of this room with a septic tank and a garage and a trailer on it, and you get 50 of them on a small canal, you're going to have a problem. We see what we suspect are some septic problems in a few of our other bases, but it's usually where they're concentrated in a small area. We haven't seen a whole lot kind of just up and down the river in general. I know there's been some concern that the Leon, and I think it's probably legitimate, and it's a hunting issue, big hunt, basin hunting problem, but it's no septic. In high volumes of hunters at a certain point in time, they probably should have something for their trailer or their camp, but they don't. And I know that's in the Leon WPP is an issue that somehow needs to be dealt with, and the counties up there are kind of struggling with how do you know where they are, and then how do you make them do right, especially given that they can travel around somewhat.
Near Hamilton or what?
Hamilton and up in Comanche, I think, is where they were thinking they were having problems. And I know some of the county commissioners were trying to work with Parks and Wildlife, game wardens. Hey, you see these guys hunting? We know that's not your main concern. If you tip off our health inspector, then he has cause to go out and look. And they're kind of going back and forth on how do they find out where Parks and Wildlife and hot water for out in the hunters, but getting the local county folks what they need just cause to go take a look at it.
And I guess the last piece of my question is there any effort on in these areas that we're looking at now of monitoring those small communities or having a group of people who's responsible for going out and gauging standards for those areas? And
as far as the septic tanks
as far as the septic use,
it's usually delegated by county.
Okay.
TCQ will delegate the authority either to the county, some places, Possum Kingdom, they delegated it to us, Possum Kingdom and Lake Lyman, so like in the vicinity of the lake, outside of our area.
So kind of the permitting area.
Yeah, the state kind of has the general guidelines. You got to assess the soil type. You know, if you have bad soils, you're supposed to do remediation. The county inspector is supposed to verify all that before they get to cover it up, that all the proper things are done. As far as long-term maintenance, I think that's probably what we saw. Granbury is probably one of the biggest failings, is we did some surveys, and less than, I think it was 10% of the residents, some of them with 30 years of septic tanks, which is really pushing the useful life of one, had ever done any maintenance. If they haven't
aerobic system, they have to.
Right.
They're required. If they have a maintenance contract, they have to prove they've done it. If they have a conventional, they don't. And so it can be all over. And it's kind of been counties write their own little plan on how they're going to enforce their program. And I've seen them all over the place. The ones that are super strict and require maintenance and make the people submit proof of maintenance.
So from that point, there is no standard.
To others who don't, as far as maintenance and keeping an eye on them. And I've seen Hood County, after some of the Granberry work, they stepped up and they're inspecting every, they say once a year, I think it's probably once every 2 years. They've got a lot to work on.
Yeah.
But that's rare too. Not a lot of people put eyes on the ground on every one of them.
And this still is the site.
Right.